Blog Talk Radio.
Bring
is Abayomi Azikiwe, and welcome back to another edition of the Pan-African Journal. The Pan-African Journal is an audio news magazine. It's brought to you here on a weekly basis. I am your host, Abayomi Azikiwe. Today is Saturday, July 17th, 2021. We're broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Detroit. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in once again to yet another edition of our program. Later on, we'll be coming up with our Pan-African Newswire report. We'll have dispatches on the aftermath of the unrest in the Republic of South Africa, where the government and other political and labor forces are working to stabilize the country. Burkina Faso in West Africa is still battling rebel groups amid other social and economic challenges. We'll have details on that as well. Also, the wife of slain Haitian President Jovenel Moïse has returned to the troubled Caribbean island nation. And the United States says it has exported its first batch of COVID-19 vaccinations to the African continent. In the second and third hours, we look in depth at the circumstances surrounding the recent unrest in the Republic of South Africa. President Cyril Ramaphosa and other political leaders are visiting impacted areas in an effort to calm the uncertainty within the population of 60 million people. These and other features will be brought to you during the course of our program. We'll take a musical interlude. We'll be back with more of our program for this week.
Baruch Ata Adonai.
Baruch Ata Adonai.
Baruch Abba Yerushalayim.
Baruch
Ata Adonai. Baruch Rabba Yerushalayim.
Catera po, si la hierre sans fe. Worshiping evil.
Centuries to stay.
Je prends ma vieille Bible, ma Torah, mon vieux Coran, ma vision à Saint-Félix. Je cours chercher les Miwanyo,
Welcome back. This is the Pan-African Journal, a worldwide radio broadcast for Saturday, July 17, 2021. We're broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Detroit. We just heard the music of Alpha Blondy from the album entitled Jerusalem. Alpha Blondy, African recording artist from the West African state of Cote d'Ivoire. And right now we want to move into our Pan-African Newswire segment of our program. Our lead story deals with the situation in the Republic of South Africa, which has undergone unrest over the last week. There have been over 200 deaths. Over 2,000 people have been arrested. And the South African National Defense Forces has been deployed to areas of the Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal provinces. Now, according to the largest trade union federation inside the country, the Congress of South African Trade Union has noted that President Cyril Ramaphosa has announced measures to address the violence in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. COSATU welcomes the efforts to restore law and order and reestablish economic supply lines in KwaZulu-Natal and parts of Gauteng. We hope the law enforcement organizations will learn lessons and improve their levels of efficiency. It is obvious that police need a people-centered approach that ensures that police officers form police partnerships with the communities they serve. It is also clear now that with technological advancement, law enforcement agencies are now being forced to develop and improve their capacity to deal with these same antisocial and criminal behavior on the internet that confronts them in the real world. Countries can be destroyed through the internet, and it is now obvious that the internet has become a new battleground where criminals engage in their nefarious activities. We hope there will be no legal or bureaucratic bumbling in this instance. The Federation notes the work that is being done to put together a relief package. We expect it to include the following key components tabled by the Congress of South African Trade Unions and the National Labor and Council, NEDLAC. Earlier just this week, They're calling for food parcels for affected communities who have no money or places to buy food, and those programs are being rolled out, and they're being publicized over the South African Broadcasting Corporation. The reinstatement of the 350 Rand COVID-19 grant for all unemployed persons across the country. There is the call for insurance relief from insurance companies and the SASRIA for destroyed businesses and property. Relief from government for those not covered by insurance, Unemployment Insurance Fund, COVID-19. Relief for workers in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng province who will now lose wages and jobs as their workplace have been destroyed. Pension withdrawal relief for workers who have lost wages or are struggling. Tax and municipal rates relief for affected businesses. A revamped loan guarantee scheme to assist companies to rebuild. Bank loan and insurance policy payments holidays for affected workers and businesses. Tripling the presidential employment program budget from 11 billion rand to 33 billion rand so that it can create at least 1 million jobs. A moratorium on retrenchments by employers in both the private and the public sector. Mobilization of donations to the Solidarity Fund to provide help to the indigent. Practical actions by government and business to ramp up local procurement to help save countless companies and jobs. A massive ramping up of the vaccine rollout program so that the economy can emerge safely as soon as possible. This must be finalized as a matter of the highest urgency because workers and their families have been left destitute by this chaos. And that was issued by the Congress of South African Trade Unions, the national spokesperson, Sizwe Pamela. Also in Mpumalanga province, the alliance has also issued a joint statement on the looting and vandalism over the last week. The alliance in Mpumalanga joins the call for peace and calm in our communities. We have for the past few days witnessed the destruction of property and lives in our country. This has led to mayhem, lawlessness, destruction of economic infrastructure, and a loss of economic stability that is necessary for our program of economic renewal. We acknowledge the discomfort by some in the country with the arrest of the former president, Jacob Zuma. Justice must not be viewed as a means to fight political battles and settle individual differences, but as a means to bring order in our society. Everybody has a right to freedom of speech and expression, which according to our Constitution has limits. Due to this reckless and unlawful behavior by some, according to the statement from the Mpumalanga Tripartite Alliance, lives have been lost unnecessarily. As the Alliance, we would like to send words of condolences to the affected families and communities. As the Alliance, we understand the severity of the triple challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequality within our communities. We call on our communities not to allow themselves to be provoked by counter-revolutionary forces using their economic hardship that they are facing due to the depressed economic outlook in our country made worse by the COVID-19 pandemic. The destruction of economic infrastructure and looting can only lead to further destruction of the few jobs that our people are having, thereby deepening existing poverty within our working class communities. The working class should not allow their poverty to be used as a tool to destroy and collapse our national democratic revolutionary program by thugs and agent provocateurs. Let us all unite and fight for a peaceful, democratic, and prosperous South Africa. Let us unite against vandalism, distraction of economic infrastructure, and promote adherence to the rule of law by all citizens of our country. Also in the Eastern Cape, the Alliance Secretariat, consisting of the African National Congress, the South African Communist Party, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, and the South African National Civic Organization, met on July 16th. And amongst other things, they deliberated on the devastating developments in the country, particularly the unrest, the criminality, looting, and generally anarchy, which engulfed parts of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng province. The EC Alliance Secretariat wishes to express extreme concern over these unrest and acts of criminality, which are centrally coordinated and planned to engulf the country into instability with the hope of projecting the country as a paralyzed state. In unanimity, we condemn this anarchy, which has resulted in brazen looting of malls, shopping centers, and the targeting of industrial goods and key sites of services for common good. We are quite alive to these stark realities of inequality, rampant unemployment, and devastating poverty that continues to plague our country. Whilst understanding the long-term effects of this triple threat, coupled with the added pressure exerted by the coronavirus pandemic, which have had a negative impact on our economy and resilience, we appreciate government efforts towards overcoming poverty through the activation of various social nets. The call for government to continue working hard and with agility to defeat poverty can't be overemphasized. We are quite aware that part of engineers of the current crisis are the beneficiaries of state capture, those who looted the state resources, and those that are corrupt and therefore who know that sooner than later the law is catching up with them and therefore would wish to create a state of anarchy to defocus the government from cleansing itself of brazen thieves and looters. They continue to instigate for lawlessness and ungovernability to run away from facing law. The Alliance therefore calls on citizens to be vigilant, to recognize and isolate instigators who seek to use the genuine socioeconomic plight of our people for their own ill-conceived gains. All those who are behind the mayhem must know that South Africa is a constitutional democracy, and there is a rule of law in this country. As a Revolutionary Alliance in the Eastern Cape, we commend the collectivism and resilience of the people of the Eastern Cape and the support lent by stakeholders and social partners in ensuring that acts of criminality do not find fertile ground to develop in our province. We applaud the law enforcement agencies, public transport associations, particularly our taxi associations, various community policing forums, private security associations, peace-loving people of Eastern Cape and our structures who are united behind the common purpose of protecting the infrastructure, goods, and livelihoods of fellow citizens. People of our province know it is a matter of fact that these acts would have dire consequences for an ailing economy and worsen both the joblessness and hunger and deprive us possibility of future growth and development. We wholeheartedly applaud the collective response of our people. This unity is an indicator of the potential for the establishment of a progressive social compact and a broad front that will serve as a major deterrent to rogue elements. The cementing of a powerful social compact will further give impetus to the fight against COVID-19, as it is through these formations that the healthcare sector can extend its reach to our citizenry in disseminating information and dispelling myths about the restless virus. The Alliance supports the initiative of activating the local joint operations to coordinate the local efforts of combating criminality, looting, and lawlessness. All Alliance structures, MDM formations, and organs of state are urged to directly engage with communities on the ground and explain to the communities what is currently underway and its devastating consequences. We also implore on all sections of our society to desist from temptations of making calls that, however well-intended, may have the effect of fueling the situation and legitimizing the acts of criminality, such as the call for political solutions over legal matters. Such calls not only stand to worsen the situation, but also potentially could undermine the supremacy of the Constitution in which everyone must act in accordance with its provision. We further support the calls for the strengthening of our state security, which may have been affected by the deliberate weakening of state institutions over the years as part of corporate capture of the state. Our state security must be refocused to fulfill its primary role of defending the country and our hard-won democratic gains. The Alliance wishes to encourage all stakeholders and role players to continue fighting the good fight of ensuring the safety of our home of legends. We implore you to remain steadfast in your sober resolve to spare the lives of economic value chain of beloved province, which, by virtue of its rural nature, would be run to the ground should looting and infrastructural damage prevail. As part of the long-term solution to the crisis of grinding poverty, unemployment, and structural crisis of inequality, we further reiterate our position on the need for an alternative economic path to be carried out in an effort to resolve the prevailing socioeconomic conditions of our people. It is a fact that the current economic trajectory, which continues to produce the high levels of poverty, unemployment, and inequality, is being used opportunistically to further nefarious ends. As such, part of the response to the prevailing situation, including the impact of COVID-19 has had on our livelihoods, is a thorough transformation of our economy to serve the people. And that was put out by the African National Congress, the South African Congress, South African Communist Party, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, and the South African National Civic Organizations in the Eastern Cape. You're listening to the Pan-African Newswire segment of the Pan-African Journal. I am your host, Abayomi Azikiwe, and we'll have more information on the current situation in South Africa. We'll hear later on from President Cyril Ramaphosa, as well as other officials and working class and mass forces in South Africa and their response to what has happened inside the country over the last week. And the United States is saying it will begin making its first COVID-19 vaccine shipments to the African continent in the coming days, with the ultimate goal of sharing 25 million doses just this summer in the United States across the continent in a partnership with the African Union. The first donated doses will be sent to Ethiopia, Djibouti, and Burkina Faso. That's according to the State Department spokeswoman, Jalina Porter, with the U.S. working with the COVAX Global Vaccine Alliance. In all, doses will eventually go to 49 African countries. According to the White House, Djibouti and Burkina Faso will each receive 151,200 doses of the Johnson & Johnson single-shot vaccine, while Ethiopia will receive 453,000. In Haiti, healthcare workers and senior citizens were the first people vaccinated yesterday inside the country as part of a test run after the country recently received 500 doses from the United Nations. The vaccinations were given to more than 30 people at the Hospital University of Peace in the capital of Port-au-Prince. Under the supervision of Haiti's health ministry, the Pan-African Health Organization told this to the Associated Press. Just on Wednesday, Haiti received its first vaccine doses since the pandemic began as part of a United States donation to the United Nations COVAX program for low-income countries. The Pan-African Health Organization spokeswoman previously told the Associated Press that they are all Moderna vaccines. And we'll have more information, and you can obtain more information on the current situation in Haiti in the aftermath of the assassination of Jovenel Moïse. It's been reported that Martine Moïse, the wife of Haitian assassinated president, who was injured in the July 7th assassination at their private home, returned to the Caribbean nation earlier today. A government spokesman, Israel Kantavi, told the Associated Press that Martine Moïse arrived in Haiti following her release from a Miami hospital. Earlier this week, she tweeted from the hospital that she could not believe her husband, Jovenel Moïse, was gone, quote, without saying a last word, unquote, she wrote, quote, this pain will never pass, unquote. Her arrival was unannounced and surprised many in the country of more than 11 million people still reeling from the assassination. No details surrounding her arrival were immediately available. On Friday, government officials announced that Jovenel Moïse's funeral will be held on July 23rd in the northern Haitian city of Cape Haitien, and that his wife is expected to attend. And, of course, that will conclude the Pan-African Newswire segment of the Pan-African Journal. We want to remind our listeners that the Pan-African Newswire is an international electronic press service. It is designed to foster intelligent discussions on the affairs of African people throughout the continent and the world. The press agency was founded in January of 1998. Since then, it has published thousands upon thousands of articles and dispatches in various newspapers, magazines, journals, research reports, and on blogs and websites throughout the world. The Pan-African Newswire represents the only daily international news source on Pan-African and global affairs. And if you'd like to log on to the Pan-African Newswire, All you have to do is go to our website at panafricannews.blogspot.com. That's panafricannews.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to, of course, have access to today's Pan-African Newswire, this worldwide radio broadcast for Saturday, July 17, 2021, all you need to do is go to the Pan-African Radio Network. That's at blogtalkradio.com/Pan-African Journal. That's blogtalkradio.com/Pan-African Journal. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of our program for this week. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pan-African Journal Worldwide Radio Broadcast. That was the music of Detroit's own Anita Baker with the song entitled Baby. And right now we want to move into a extended report on what has transpired in the Republic of South Africa over the last week, where over 200 people have been killed. This was prompted by the surrender of former President Jacob Zuma, who had been sentenced to 15 months in detention for contempt of the Zondo Commission as well as the Constitutional Court. Let's listen to a report from the South African Broadcasting Corporation from yesterday, reporting on South African President Cyril Ramaphosa's visit to KwaZulu-Natal, one of the two provinces that suffered the unrest over the last week. Let's listen in.
To basically assess the damage that has been caused by the recent looting incidences that have been occurring in the province of KwaZulu-Natal as well as Gauteng. At the moment, he is being briefed by the leadership of the SEPS provincial commissioner. He's currently briefing the President of the Republic of South Africa about the extent of the damage that is here. This is one of the malls, Simpiwa, that has been, you know, badly affected by the looting as well as the damage to infrastructure. So the president, as you'd recall, did say earlier on that he will be dispatching members of the South African National Defense Force together with the SAPS members to try and remedy the situation that is unfolding in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. In particular, I see the president is now, you know, receiving the briefing from the provincial commissioner. Just to get a sense of the damage that has been caused and also what members of the police are going to do in terms of trying to remedy the situation. There have been a number of concerns, as our viewers would recall, regarding the work that is being done by SAPS in this regard. Some community members accusing members of the police of not doing enough to basically try and prevent some of these incidences from occurring. But of course, the Minister of Police, General Bekicele, was very quick to say that police are doing enough, and they have been doing enough in trying to remedy the situation. I see also the Minister of State Security, Ayanda Dlodlo, is one of those accompanying the President of the Republic of South Africa as he is on this oversight, you know, visit in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, eThekwini Municipality to be precise, where he's busy assessing the damage that has been done as a result of the recent looting incidences. And of course, we did hear earlier on from the Minister of Police saying that more members of the SANDF were expected to be deployed in the province of KwaZulu-Natal to, among other things, you know, ensure the safety of the infrastructure that is still standing, and also the issue of residents that are, you know, complaining about their security as things stand. The damage to infrastructure, according to the business chamber in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, is now estimated to be well over 15 billion rand. In terms of the arrest, police have managed to arrest over 1,400 people up to now with regards to those incidences. But of course, we know from the acting minister in the presidency, Khumbuzo Tshabeni, that the 12 people that are sort of seen as instigators of this violence are being investigated. One of those has been, you know, apprehended by the police, and we're expecting more of those people, you know, to be brought to book, to be questioned about the incidences that have since unfolded here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. You'd recall also, Simpiwe, that when this incident occurred, the President of the Republic of South Africa, in his initial address, you know, characterized this as, you know, an incident that is largely perpetuated by ethnic mobilization. But he has since received quite, you know, a number of, one would say, complaints and people disagreeing with him, you know, when it comes to that statement. And the president is currently being briefed by the minister now of police, who has been in the province of KwaZulu-Natal for a couple of days now since these incidents occurred. He has been on the ground, you know, trying to interact with the various community members. And one of those communities is the community of Phoenix, where racial tensions seem to be, you know, rearing their ugly heads, so to speak, between the community of the Indian community as well as the Africans who live in that community. The president is now making his way down the Bridge City Shopping Center, busy assessing the extent of the damage that has been done as a result of the recent incidents of looting. I believe that the president is going to be addressing members of the media. We've been told to be stationed in one place, so we are going to wait for the President of the Republic of South Africa to give an update in terms of what he has been told up to now and what is going to be the way forward in terms of trying to quell these tensions and also address the issue at hand.
Police Minister,
All right, we're trying to get visuals of President Cyril Ramaphosa at the Bridge City Mall as he's doing a walkabout around that particular area to assess the extent of the damage caused by the ongoing looting and violence in different parts of the country. Simpiwe Makhanya is there, and he's coordinating that we get the proper visuals of the president as he'll be addressing some of the stakeholders. He's just had a briefing from the community members and the community leaders with regards to what happened there and the way forward. And I'm just wondering, Simpiwe, whether, I mean, what would come out of this walkabout? What would come out of this assessment? I mean, are we likely to see perhaps a stimulus package, you know, to sort of cushion the business people who lost their businesses as a result of this shooting there, I mean, of this looting there, because about 15 billion rand has been lost in stock and as well as infrastructure damage as a result of this looting there. So I'm just wondering whether, you know, a plan will come out of this post-looting to sort of cushion to cushion some of the business people who lost their business there. All right, so we've now established a proper shot of the president and he's addressing the crowd. Let's listen in.
We're also on the ground to deal with a very difficult situation. And to overlay on that, we then deployed another layer, a key layer, which is our Minister of Police, Minister of Defense, and Minister of State Security. They came together with other leaders, members of cabinet. So they've spent quite a lot of time, and I've been in daily and hourly contact with the Premier and the Minister
as well as the commanders who have been conducting all the activities here. We obviously, as a government, are extremely, extremely concerned about what happened here. And we are doing everything to deal with it. And it's quite clear that this, all these incidents of unrest and looting were instigated.
Yes.
They were instigators.
Yes.
There were people who planned it, they coordinated it, and our intelligence services and our police have now got a line of sight of what actually was happening here with the instigation and with the coordination and the planning. And we are after those people. We are going after them. We have identified a good number of them. And we will not allow anarchy and mayhem to just unfold in our country. It is most unfortunate that so much damage has been done to the country and people have lost their lives. That is the most concerning issue. And here in KZN alone, 95 people have already lost their lives. There's been complete destruction of the livelihoods of people and now going to go forward having lost jobs, and the economic damage that has been done, including just looking at our country from both internal investors as well as external investors as an economic destination, has been severely dented. So we've really been taken backwards on our path for economic recovery. Yes, security forces have tried the very best that they could. I've been talking to our officers here, our provincial commissioner, the minister and the others. Yes, we could have done better, but we were overwhelmed by a situation, and primary in the minds of the minister of police and the commanders was to save lives, to make sure that we did not get into a situation which could have resulted in more mayhem. And as the Minister of State Security has also said in the past, the situation could have been much worse. And our security forces came to the party and did the very best that we could. Now, we regret, obviously, we regret the situation that has resulted in this. This is not what we want to see in our country. And obviously, we are going to have to re-examine everything that we do in defense of our people, in defense of the assets of the country. But right now, I'd like to say that we are rolling out our security forces. 25,000 soldiers are now being rolled out, and in a short space of time, they will have flooded the entire province and other provinces such as Gauteng as well. So this is most unfortunate where we are.
CNN.
Mr. President, ordinary citizens have taken the law into their own hands and they feel let down by the state. Why did it take so long to secure?
Yes, ordinary citizens have felt that they need to defend their areas, to defend their assets. And we welcome the fact that ordinary citizens are working together with the security forces, standing up not only to defend their own assets, but they're also defending our democracy, because they can see that this is an assault on the democratic situation that we have in our country. So they are standing up, and we applaud them, that our people themselves see that there is a lot at stake, and that the instigators want to spread instability in the country, and we don't know what their full and true intentions are, but the democratic state is what our people are defending as well as their assets. So yes, we have said that we could have acted quicker, but they are now joining hands with us as the state, working together. Now, many of our people are working together, the religious community, the business community, ordinary people in their homes, in the streets of our country. They are now cleaning up the country, cleaning up the towns, and which demonstrates that the intentions of the instigators is failing, has actually failed, because it is our people who are coming now to the defense of all our people, to working together with government, but also coming to the defense of our democracy.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mr. President, there is a war going on in Phoenix. Are you going to Phoenix after the attack of being killed?
The Minister of Police, was on his way to Phoenix, and when I was coming here, he paused for a while, and our local leaders, the Premier, our MECs, are going to have to deal with that type of situation. I wanted to go myself, but time now is of the essence. We're going to have a cabinet meeting later, so I've got to go back to Gauteng. But I'm here now encouraging and holding the hands of all our people on the ground, and also directing the security forces and getting them to go to those areas that are volatile at the moment. That's precisely what we are doing.
Mr. President, what did you mean by ethnic mobilization?
As we looked and listened to some of what was being said in voicemail, there were suggestions that some of the instigators were using terms that seemed to appear to be ethnic mobilization. I mean, they were, for instance, using terms like Leli Vendaleli and so forth, meaning me. And that can't mean anything but some measure of ethnic sentiment. And when I said that, but later we then analyzed the situation. We analyzed it with all our leaders, and we came to the conclusion that no, this is not about ethnic mobilization, much as right at the beginning it seemed to appear like that. And I've been clarifying this. And right now we are dealing with a situation that goes beyond ethnic mobilization, but we're also concerned about the racial aspect of it, because it's beginning to flare up where one community is pitted against another. Now, that is one of the things that we've got to deal with. Now, but I also have said that the criticism against even me for having suggested ethnic mobilization, I see it in positive light, because it means that as South Africans, we are disavowing any notion of ethnicity. And this, in my book, which is the flip side of what I said, means that we are saying we are united as a nation. And what the forebears of the ANC said when the ANC was formed, that we must kill the demon of ethnicity and tribalism, is still alive today. And that to me was clear confirmation. So I will say it once again, this, as it has manifested itself, is not about ethnic mobilization at all. Much as it seems to rear its head at the beginning, it is not. It is about, yes, there are many causes to this, and we will talk about that later. But the issue of former President Jacob Zuma, yes, our provincial leadership and a number of people have been suggesting that we should look at a variety of measures of dealing with a difficult situation where the court has made a ruling, and where President Jacob Zuma must be credited and applauded for having complied with what the court did rule. And he has to be applauded for that. We're giving consideration to all the issues and the proposals that are being put forward to us. So until then, let's leave the matter where it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
incidents of looting, and the president basically saying that his initial diagnosis of the situation when he termed it ethnic mobilization was incorrect, admitting here that there are a variety of factors which have led to this, and the work is being done by leaders of government and security forces in terms of trying to bring stability in the province of KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng. Of course, the president admitting that government could have done better in terms of trying to normalize the situation when it initially, you know, began. So now the president is saying that there will be a cabinet later on to, among other things, discuss this issue. And of course, another issue that has been raised is the issue of former President Jacob Zuma, who is currently serving his 15-month jail sentence at the escort facility, prison facility. The president there saying that there are quite a number of measures that they are looking into to try and deal with the issue of the former president, Simpiwe.
Now, Simpiwe, are you at all impressed with President Cyril Ramaphosa's defense of his statement on ethnic mobilization? Because remember that he was thrust into the firing line of criticism and the people criticizing him for being responsible for the carnage and the barbarism that you see in KZN. He says that, he sees that in a positive light. He sees that in a positive light because it affirms that South Africans dispel or disavow the notion of ethnicity. And we've seen so many people, you know, from different fronts, in particular the traditional prime minister of the Zulu people, of the Zulu kingdom, Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who said, and I'm going to quote him verbatim, he says, "I don't understand what is meant by ethnic mobilization. It's not about Zulu people against other people. Even in the case where the mobilized support for our former president Zuma, Mr. Ace Magashule, is not a Zulu, and the leaders of Mpumalanga who came down here were not necessarily Zulu." I mean, he's still going to do a whole lot of work in trying to dispel that notion of his responsibility of the carnage as a result of that statement, Simpiwe.
Certainly, Simpiwe, the president did receive quite strong criticism from members of the public with regards to that initial statement he made, and here he was admitting that it was wrong on his part to characterize the situation as such, and saying that obviously he's learning from it, but the initial characterization of this situation, Simpiwe, the president saying that initially it appeared as though that
Alright, we seem to have lost Simpiwe Makhanya there, and he was just giving us an update with regards to, you know, the president's visit there, and I do understand that Simpiwe Makhanya is now back with us. Simpiwe, are you back with us?
I can hear you very well, Simpiwe. I'm just saying that we are following the convoy of the president as he has just wrapped up his visit here at KwaMashu, trying to, you know, get a sense of what the real situation is on the ground in terms of the damage that has been caused here. And of course, in his address in Piwe, after, you know, engaging with the leadership of the police minister, Begicele, together with the provincial leadership, the president saying that he understands that the government could have acted more swiftly and more better in terms of trying to manage this crisis. But now, reassuring South Africans that law enforcement authorities are on top of things, and there will become instability with the deployment now of both members of the South African National Defense Force, about 25,000 of them, and as well as members of the SAPS. These visuals, Zimpiwe, are currently coming to you live from Gwamashu, the convoy following rather the President of the Republic of South Africa, His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa. He's going now to meet with the provincial leaders and as well as the ministers responsible for the security cluster. That's Minister Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula, Minister Ayanda Dlodlo, and Minister Peggy Cele, to sit down and try and map a way forward in terms of the steps that are now going to be taken to bring about calm and stability. In his address to the media, Simpiwe, earlier on, the President did speak at length about the economic impact of this situation, saying that it's going to set us back as a country in many ways, because many people are going to be, you know, affected in terms of losing their jobs. But he's adamant that the situation is now under control, and there will be calm and there will be stability in both the province of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, Simpiwe.
Yeah, and he's also been thrust in the spotlight of criticism with regards to his responsibility and allegedly having been influencing the judicial outcomes of court cases around former President Jacob Zuma. When he was asked that question, I suppose he was quite coy in involving himself in that, saying that the provincial leadership is dealing with that particular matter. Please indicate if you are able to hear me. Okay, we seem to have lost the line to Simpiwe there. These are the live visuals of the convoy of the former, President Cyril Ramaphosa. He just briefed the media and has just done a walkabout and assessed the extent of the damage at the Bridge City Mall in Gwamashu, which is one of the malls that have been badly affected by the carnage and the looting that has been going on. Well, he was defending his statement on ethnic mobilization, saying that he sees it in a positive light because it actually affirms that South Africans, you know, sort of disavow the notion of ethnicity. And he reiterated that it's not about ethnic mobilization. It threw him in the firing line, of course, of criticism that the statement led to the anarchy we see in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. He also read the riot act to the anarchists and the perpetrators of the violence and looting in KZN. He says they are now circling around the instigators of the violence, and one of them has been arrested, as has been affirmed by the Deputy Minister of State Security, Zizi Kodwa. Well, he also affirmed that they are rolling out the deployment of the Defence Force officials, and in a short while, they will be all over the place. Well, President Ramaphosa is there to assess the impact of the recent public violence and the deployment of security forces. I mean, the President will interact with the provincial government and security forces. We've heard earlier on saying that he will sit down with the Defence Minister and as well as the State Security Minister to assess the extent of the damage that has been perpetrated by the anarchists of this violence in KwaZulu-Natal and in Gauteng. Simpiwe Makhanya there is on the road following the President to his next engagement. Now, Simpiwe, please indicate if you can hear me now.
I can hear you very well, Simpiwe.
Okay, yeah, I was just asking you about the issue of former President Jacob Zuma, and I believe he was quite coy in involving himself in that particular matter when answering questions about former President Jacob Zuma, saying that provincial leadership of the ANC, you know, is there to deal with this matter. What are your thoughts on that?
Indeed, Simpiwe, you'd recall that the Premier of KwaZulu-Natal was reported having said that he has asked the President of the Republic of South Africa to intervene and grant the former president, a presidential pardon to, try and perhaps deal with the situation that is unfolding here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And the president, in his answer, was very vague, Simpiwe. He basically said he, together with the provincial leadership of the ANC, are looking into the matter and giving assurance that a decision will be made and communicated when the time is right. You recall that when these unrest began, Simpiwe, initially the calls were that the former president should be released from jail using the hashtag Free Zuma. But obviously things started to change, the nature of the protest then changed to becoming, incidents of looting and incidents of violence, which has damaged quite a lot of infrastructure in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And as I speak to you, the numbers that we have are that over 129,000 jobs, have been affected, and 40,000 businesses have been affected as a result of these incidences. And of course, the province of KwaZulu-Natal being the mostly affected one in terms of the damage and loss of income, so to speak, with over 20 billion having been lost so far as a result of these incidences. It's going to be important, Simpiwe, to note what the president decides in terms of the predicament that he finds himself in, with the former president having been arrested. Because it's not an issue of the state alone, but it's got political ramifications as well, with both of them coming from the same political party. And the president now, Simpiwe, as I speak to you, is on his way to do, further assessment of the situation here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And as we are driving, Simpiwe, we can still see the amount done. And the numbers are really not looking good.
Yeah, on Simpiwe, you touched on the, cost of the damage, Simpiwe, and you just mentioned the figure of 20 billion rand, and which is a figure which has been bandied about, with regards of the cost of the damage. In as much as it's still the early stages to compute and collate the economic or the financial cost of the damage at this point, because more still needs to be calculated. But the economic cost, or the bigger cost of this, I'm sure it'll be the loss of investor confidence in South Africa, thousands of jobs lost, because up to now it is estimated that 50,000 jobs could be at risk under the baseline scenario. And many retail shops were closed, interprovincial transport ground to a halt, diverse places of work in Pure were unable to open as normal, and citizens, afraid of their safety, stayed at home. This would have far-reaching implications, not only in the medium term, but in the long term.
Indeed, Simpiwe, those numbers are not looking good. I must be, honest with you, because if you go around the usual shopping centers here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, most of them are not functioning. Those that have been spared from this violence are still closed, because the businesses there fear that they could be, such incidents, occurring again. But the president saying that law enforcement authorities have now been unleashed in the form of members of the South African National Defence Force, as well as the, you know, members of the South African Police Services. Perhaps what is also, you know, important to note is the beefing up of President Cyril Ramaphosa's security. You know, when we arrived at the KwaMashu, you know, shopping center where we were, we saw quite a number of police. You know, when the president comes down to KwaZulu-Natal, you know, we always see quite a sizable number of police, you know, personnel guarding him. But this time around, I can certainly tell you that there was more in terms of security, perhaps giving an indication that the situation is still very volatile in this province, and wanting to ensure that the safety of the president and the safety of those that have been, you know, on this journey with the president, ministers of the security cluster, is prioritized, Simpiwe.
Okay, Simpiwe, I'm going to let you go for now as you, follow the president in his next engagement, and we'll certainly touch base with you a little later on. That was our reporter, Simpiwe Makanya, on the road. They are from...
Welcome back. And that was a report from the South African Broadcasting Corporation from yesterday on President Cyril Ramaphosa's visit to KwaZulu-Natal province to assess the damage done in the unrest over the last week. And we heard Ramaphosa. We also heard commentary from the host and correspondent from the SABC, which has been covering this entire incident as it has unfolded over the last week. Right now, we're listening to a report from today, also from the SABC on Swanee, report about the unrest and the role of the South African National Defense Forces. Let's listen.
The widespread looting in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng spilled over into, of course, Tshwane. It was all hands on deck today in the capital city. The SANDF, South African Police Service, and the Tshwane Metro Police joined together in a show of force. My colleague, that's ENCA reporter Khayelihle Khumalo, is joining us now from the ground in the Pretoria CBD. Khayelihle, good afternoon. What's happening? I see you taking a stroll there with the police and the soldiers.
Well, President, by all accounts, it's a massive operation. So a joint operation, of course, between the members of the National Defense Force alongside their counterpart from SAPS. Also, they do have immigration officers as well from Home Affairs and, of course, the Tshwane Metro Police. So this is part and parcel of making sure that there's strong visibility, but also trying to put the business owners at ease that they can resume their activities. So they've been crisscrossing the capital, really, and going through, but also it's quite a very important operation for them as well, to try and raise awareness about the issue pertaining to COVID-19 regulations. But joining us now is Captain Seeler, just to give us a sense in terms of this operation. So, Captain, so far, I mean, how has it been going in terms of your initial assessment?
So far, it's been going very good. Let me first by saying welcome. Let me just greet your viewers first of and foremost. The operation has been going well. It's been a nice joint operation between the South African Police Service, SANDF, Immigration, the Metro Police. And as well, this morning we were joined by the taxi associations around the city of Tshwane. And we were just busy doing awareness around the Marabastad area and the CBD, just to put the business community at ease so they can open their business, because Pretoria currently is much calmer, and they can carry on with their business as usual. And we then moved on to Pretoria West and East, doing patrols, mobile patrols and foot patrols, and also remind the people that COVID-19 is still existing, and they should carry on by putting on their masks and also observing social distancing as well. Right now we are in the CBD doing showing of forces and visibility, and stop and search, and we find a lot of people not wearing masks, but we are remind them to put masks. And a few minutes ago, while we were in the Pretoria station, we found somebody else with weapons in his pockets and so forth. So those were some of the things that we are currently doing in the CBD. Yes.
Right. And just, Captain, in terms of the measures they're using, are you perhaps not using any heavy-handed tactics? Do you think everything that you've been using is in accordance with the prescript of the Constitution?
What we're using, we are not using... everything we're using is just minimal force, and we are not... let me just put it clearly. We are not using any force among the people. We are doing it in the correct manner and ensure that the dignity of our citizens is intact as well.
And just another issue of interest, Captain, in terms of the recoveries of the goods so far, what can you just tell us around that issue?
The issue of the recovery of goods, if you've seen even yesterday in Mamelodi, there were joint patrols as well, joint patrols, the SAPS and the SNDF, recovering some of the stolen goods around the area, and the operation has been successful.
All right, Captain Sila, thank you so much indeed. So, Braden, that's a bit of a comprehensive picture here in the capital. So this is a very important operation, really. It's a crackdown of making sure that they do maintain law and order as per the directive of the Commander-in-Chief here in South Africa. But let's try and hear from some of the people in Pretoria. Maybe just give us a sense. Are you guys businesses? Are you here to shop? Let's get a sense.
Hello, sir. I'm Sabo Ndongeni here. I stay in this building. I'm also a government employee. All we want from our colleagues from the SAPS and SANDF is just to protect the community, and we've been going out to make sure that people don't loot, don't deter our businesses around the city, and most of us have been working at home. I'm working for Arts and Culture, to be exact. The only concern that we have, we would like our law enforcement to make sure that they keep the order, but they don't brutalize the civilians.
All right.
Yeah, the agility and the aggressiveness is only what the people don't want.
Okay, so the issue of heavy-handedness, Braden. So we got a sense from SANDF that, well, they are not really using such options. But quickly wrapping up with you, sir, your message at this point?
My name is Victor Makale.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a business owner around here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were very concerned about what is happening throughout all.
Okay.
But now, because of seeing SNDF together with the police working on the streets, it was giving us a very big, big surprise. Because even our president, the way he's doing things up there, we are not happy.
Okay.
Because now, the people who are vandalizing this KwaZulu-Natal.
Okay.
Now, yesterday on his speech,
mm-hmm.
He just mentioned it that he's going to give them the food parcels. We are very concerned because we are the taxpayers around these countries.
Okay.
And then now
okay.
they are using our taxpayers to give the people who vandalized our country.
Okay, sir,
yeah.
I'm afraid due to time, I'm just going to leave it there. So there's a bit of resentment about the far-reaching implications, Braden, but we'll certainly keep you posted with all the developments here in the capital city.
And keep safe. Thank you very much, Khayelihle Khumalo. They're on the ground accompanying a group of South African National Defence Force soldiers together with a group of South African Police Service members and members of the Tshwane Metro Police there in the...
Welcome back. And that was a report from Tshwane, also known as Pretoria, the capital of the Republic of South Africa. And that was a report talking about the role of the security forces and the community in mobilizing against the looting and arson that took place over the last week. And right now we want to hear from the South African Minister of Police, Bheki Cele. Earlier today, spoke to the Media. And that previous report was from ECNA, not from the South African Broadcasting Corporation. This report is, I believe, from SABC, and we want to thank ECNA and SABC for sharing these very valuable reports as developments are unfolding in the Republic of South Africa. And, of course, we can share them with our audience here at the Pan-African Journal Worldwide Radio Broadcast. Let's listen in to another report that was done earlier today featuring the Minister of Police, Bekesile, speaking to the media.
And you have said that you've identified the issues and you've said that they will be dealt with. But I'm listening to what the community is now saying in the background. Do you think that the interventions have been sufficient?
Well, the whole community is angry. It's not only this one that is angry. Pamba is angry. Zwelisha is angry. Wachifi Trimawot is angry. Therefore, we are not going to stop dealing with the situation, trying to correct it. Things need to be done here. People were killed. We need to find those people who killed the people. Whether it's racism or what, I'm not looking racist. I'm not looking at black people. I'm looking at the killers. The figure given to me now, people dead, is 22. And the 22 people, I'm told, is the undercount. They are almost up to 30. We need to find those people. Two, there are people that are lying in the mortuary here. Their relatives can't go and see them. We say Amaphosa will have to work on that, going to check those people. And those people that have broken the law, we need to follow. Issue was raised, which I think is a major issue here, of the private security companies that I'm told they misbehaved. They are governed by the laws. We'll have to check if those laws were not broken. If broken, take the necessary steps. We're not going to be intimidated about this noise and people talking and shouting. Ours is to follow the law, and we shall follow the law. It doesn't matter what people think.
Minister, I want to ask you two questions that are linked. The one question is about the so-called instigators. The first question about that would be, why is that taking so long? I think that's a question many are asking. And then the second would be, what you're seeing here, these racial tensions, what is playing out on the field here? Is this part of that strategy that these instigators may have been pushing for, to divide and conquer?
Well, the question of the instigators is being investigated by the different units of the South African police. Identified and all, I think they've begun to pick them. And I think they picked a third one yesterday, but they are still picking them in Gauteng. So I'm not going to work on that because there are people investigating on this one. But coming on this one, using the community, if those members of the community allow themselves to be used to such an extent that we must lose the life, the law must respond. We are not going to say because you were used and you killed the people. People have been telling horrible stories how they were treated as they were coming in the community and all that. People are dead. How many people are dead? Who killed those people? We must find them. So it doesn't have to come here and be shouted and you think that you take a step back. No, there is no step back we'll take. We'll do the job that you're supposed to do. Those that killed the people, those that torched the cars, those that went for robbery, those that went for looting, will have, but you can't equate looting and murder. That's why we're separating. That's why we've put a special team of investigators that will come here to investigate those murders. But if you think you'll intimidate and you'll stop doing that, no.
So when will we know those identities, or when will we see quicker movement on getting those people? Because there are now talks, and maybe you can confirm this if it's come to your attention, there are talks of a resurgence of the violence. So my question is, when will we know who's behind it? And secondly, is there anything coming to you?
As soon as they get arrested, you will know. We will all push that we must reach that stage to avoid that resurgence. But I think the law enforcement agencies will be better equipped, as President said, that we're not better equipped, and they use the experience that happened to go forward.
So the question would be that if they...
I just wanted to link it to his question, Minister. we've seen army tanks rolling into Guamashu as well, and you yourself said that there's nothing more important than losing lives, but we haven't seen the army here, the road has been blockaded.
Well,
is there any reasoning behind that?
Up to this point, we have allocated 85 police here, and the tanks are expected to roll tonight or very early morning. To this committee that you think we are pulling together, because one thing that has been raised is that people have seen police and soldiers coming and ending only in Phoenix and not attending other communities. That's why we say this committee will work with the police so that they identify those soft and those sensitive areas, so police they deploy accordingly, including taking the streets so that everybody moves away from the streets.
On the instigators, Mr. Thulani Zulu, we saw him handing himself over at the Durban Central Police Station yesterday, and a rumor has it on the street that he was told that he is not a suspect and that they are not after him. Can you confirm?
Well, he did not hand himself to me. I know that he did go to Durban Central. I know that there were some detectives dealing with the matter, and for me, it ends there for now.
Minister, I want to talk about this issue because one of the things that we've noticed is how quickly things have escalated when it's come to the looting, right? So the issue is these crowds didn't come magically to these stores in their thousands. They started in smaller groups of 50. Some of the complaints that we've been getting, and again, you can verify this if it's in fact true, from police officers at station level is that they said that they didn't have access to the items that were required to manage crowds, your rubber bullets, your tear gas, and they said that that was reserved for POP, but POP was not necessarily there at the start. Could things have been different if they had had access to those tools?
What is not very correct is that they started as small groups. No, they did not start as a small group. We have the pictures there, we have the videos. As you see at Nanda Road, there was no 50 people there.
What about the resources, though?
I'm answering the question that you asked. Yeah? If you ask and want to answer, do so. But you raise the issue to say these people, they started. I'm saying to you, that is not correct. I've been on these things. I walked, I've seen. They come in numbers. Indeed, the resources would have been given to the POP because those are the people that are equipped to deal with this matter. But it has to be escalated to equip the station when it was clear that POP themselves could not cope. It is on the score that we flew the police aeroplane from Pretoria to Durban to bring those things because we're realizing that indeed we needed to equip everybody.
Okay, let's give other people a chance, please, in your turn. Hello, Minister. How has the death toll been determined? And what's delaying knowing a final toll?
Where? Here.
Of the total death toll of the violence in the area.
Well, the one other thing. People have been blocked to go and identify their dead one here by the mortuary here in Phoenix. That's why this committee, together with the police, will accompany those people to go there. Secondly, it was not an easy access for the people from this other area to come here, who they believe that there are people lying around the trees that are dead. There will be a team accompanying those people. So when those people have been found, if they are dead and identified, then we'll know the toll.
Does the toll include the unidentified or no? The unidentified in the mortuary, does it include them?
Well, the people that are identified, to be exact, there are 20. But people say there are almost 10 more missing people, which could go up to 30 or 35. But there are people. And those people, they were picked up here dead, either shot or hacked.
And based on what you saw today, what's your response to the allegation that there was a race war that has taken place here? What you've observed
in all
the different communities?
It's not today. It's not today. I've always said there is criminality here, and it sparked that at the end of the day, the whole issue took the race posture. I've always said so, and I maintain that there is that, but you are not going to subtract that there was criminality that sparked that. But unfortunately, the final posture seems to be racist.
All right,
Minister Reginald Witwoud from the SABC. Last night, President Cyril Ramaphosa said that the security cluster could have done better to actually bring this violent protest under control. What's your stance on that?
I've been saying so long time ago, myself. I didn't start after the president that we could have done better. We could have few skeleton buildings, as you see, the supermarkets, the malls, and all that. After doing better, would have been less of those things. But what here and the president, as he emphasized and we agree, from ourselves is also explained that we did do some job. For instance, people don't tell the story how Pavilion survived. They don't tell the story. There were not 50 people there moving from that neighboring township there. There was a long, long queue. There we had to send even the special task force. Yeah. Special task force does not deal with things like crowd and all, but we had to send it for that place to be protected. And there are other places that have been protected. There are places like your reservoir, water reservoirs have been targeted and they've been protected. Hospital, they've been protected. There are many things and many places that are still standing. And yes, short, but police did the job. One thing I want to raise, I'll raise it everywhere I go. I went to Pretoria. I went to four places. I started in Mamelodi Mall, which was partially attacked. As I went there, the media packed and told the story. From there, I went to Tswane Mall. Not a scratched window, not a single one, not reported. I went to the plant where they built Ford Rangers, and then the community came and said, not in our name, not a single report from the media. I went to Homo at Alfredville. There are 210 shops, only one attack, not a single. So this thing of going to four places, one attack is well reported, three not attacked, nobody. So it looks like everything is nothing surviving. So that's a problem that all of us will have to deal with.
Minister, you spoke about the community and their role in doing this and doing this, protecting their communities within the ambit of the law. So I just want to get clarity on these roadblocks, or should I say roadblocks that we are seeing across the city. What is your stance on that? While we've seen community members gathering there, some people are doing it peacefully, some are doing it more violently. What is the SAPS's stance?
Well, the crux of the matter is that I don't know which road did you drive coming here. There are many banned cars coming this way. And there are many stories where people were harrowed and abused, including women. There are many dead bodies lying in the mortuary. That can't be Lagos. That can't be Lagos. They can't be Lagos. Communities have the right to defend themselves within the law. One of that, if you believe that Tele is breaking the law, yours is to hand over him to the South African police. But also, there's nothing wrong when the structures of the community work with the police and they are there. You know, I met a young lady who is a member of the South African Police Service that was abused, crying, saying to me, Minister, I'm thinking of resigning. Even when she has showed her appointment card, she was still abused. So that can't be legal, and when you come here, people, they think that they really threaten us and we run away. No, we are not that kind. We are simple saying, let's work with the communities and work within the law. The communities have raised the inadequacy of the police. We'll have to examine that. But when that is corrected and that is adequate, communities will have to go back, take their places, and allow the law enforcement agencies to take over.
Minister?
I'm going to take the last two questions. Can we agree, colleagues?
Yes.
You go.
Okay. Minister, you've announced a myriad of investigations that are going to ensue, the alleged vigilantism, the alleged racism, the looting, keeping receipt, operation keeping receipt. But one thing we haven't heard, and I support this question by what we've heard in these visits that you've done today. We heard that in the previous communities that we went to, that police themselves were fueling the looting. We've heard here that police were watching while people were being hurt.
Which means you don't listen.
I was listening, Minister.
You don't listen. I've said here, we will investigate the role of the police.
Yes.
That's what I've said.
Okay.
I've said it here. I've said it. So you're not listening.
Okay.
Okay. And then,
that's the last question. Go ahead.
Thank you, Lorenzo. The last question is around the ammunition that was targeted. So what I want to know clearly is, I remember that there was a significant portion that was recovered. At the time that it was stolen, was it in the care of the SAPS? Was it there?
No,
it was not in the care of the SAPS. Fortunately, that night I was on the field. I picked up a first box, small box, that had 500. It got expanded. We picked several boxes that were 1,000, and they got to 100 themselves. Later, the provincial commissioner, as we're standing there, came with somebody, the gentleman, that said that was taken from the port, Transnet, to one of the warehouses there. But police have refused to grant the permission for them to move out there. And then we were told by those gentlemen that it was not just boxes, it was a whole crate that got lost. We don't know how many there were in there. So there is an investigation going on now. One, what was the destination of those, of that box and all? But two, if police have not granted the permission for them to leave the harbor, how did they leave the harbor and find where they are and the people that facilitated this illegal movement? So there where the investigation is.
I think that's clear. Thank you.
Welcome back. And that was an interview, well, a press briefing by Minister of Police in the Republic of South Africa, Beke Sile. And a lot of questions are being raised about developments over the last week in the Republic of South Africa. Well, over 200 people were killed. Many businesses were destroyed. This took place amid a surge in COVID-19 cases inside the country. South Africa has the largest number of COVID-19 cases in the whole of the African continent. They are at this time rolling out a vaccination program inside the country. And of course, a week ago, this disturbance has ignited as a result, purportedly as a result of the incarceration of former President Jacob Zuma for contempt of court in relationship to investigations into corruption and state capture in the Republic of South Africa by government officials. We'll take a break and we'll be back with our concluding segment. To the Pan-African Journal, worldwide radio broadcast for Saturday, July 17th, 2021. We're broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Detroit. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for listening in and tuning in once again to yet another edition of the Pan-African Journal worldwide radio broadcast. And that was the voice of none other than Candy Staten and Darling, You're All That I Had. And, of course, here at the Pan-African Journal, you are all that we have. And we're going to continue with our concluding segment. We've been paying close attention to developments in the Republic of South Africa over the last week in the regard to the unrest and arson, looting, and sabotage attacks that have occurred throughout the country. Perhaps greatest threat to the democratic transformational process in the Republic of South Africa over the last 27 years since the African National Congress took control of the country. These developments come amid the worsening COVID-19 impact on the Republic of South Africa, over 2 million cases inside the country. As of last week, hospitalized due to COVID-19 and tens of thousands that have lost their lives. Let's listen to President Cyril Ramaphosa, who addressed the country yesterday after returning from the KwaZulu-Natal province to meet with community leaders to survey the damage that had been done inside that province. We just want to remind our listeners that the majority of the provinces and territories inside South Africa were not destabilized over the last week. The unrest occurred largely within areas of KwaZulu-Natal and also in Gauteng. Cities and townships such as Vosloorus, Sebokeng, Alexandra, and others in Gauteng, and areas of Durban and around Durban and Pietermaritzburg. In KwaZulu-Natal. Estimates of damages are still not necessarily accurate, but the overall level of destruction was immense. And of course, the South African administration, along with the security forces, the African National Congress, the South African Trade Unions, the South African Communist Party, the South African National Civic Organizations, along with business interests, along with the SANDF,
good evening,
are attempting to bring some form of stabilization in the country. Right now, let's listen to South African President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Earlier today, I visited the areas of KwaMashu, Springfield, Mobeni, and Umlazi in KwaZulu-Natal. These areas have been sites of unprecedented violence and destruction over the past few days. The streets and buildings I saw bear the scars of looting and mayhem. But what is most devastating is the toll that these events of violence have taken on people's lives, on their livelihoods and sense of security. The human toll will take much longer to repair. It is clear now that the events of the past week were nothing less than a deliberate, a coordinated, and a well-planned attack on our democracy. The constitutional order of our country is under threat. The current instability and ongoing incitement to violence constitutes a direct contravention of the constitution of our country and the rule of law. These actions are intended to cripple the economy of our country, to cause social instability, and severely weaken or even dislodge the democratic state. Using the pretext of a political grievance, those behind these acts have sought to provoke a popular insurrection amongst our people. They have sought to exploit the social and economic conditions under which many South Africans live, conditions of poverty, of inequality and unemployment that have worsened since the onset of coronavirus pandemic, and to provoke ordinary citizens and criminal networks to engage in opportunistic acts of wanton looting. The ensuing chaos is used as a smokescreen to carry out economic sabotage through targeted attacks on trucks, on factories, on warehouses, and other infrastructure necessary for the functioning of our economy and the provision of services to our people. Through social media, through fake news and misinformation, they have sought to inflame racial tensions and violence. Worst of all, these instigators have sought to manipulate the poor and vulnerable for their own benefit. Yet despite the widespread destruction, this attempted insurrection has failed. It has failed to gain popular support amongst our people. It has failed because of the efforts of our security forces, and it has failed because South Africans have rejected it and have stood up in defense of our hard-won democracy. I saw the determination of our people in defending their democracy in action as I walked through the streets of Etegwini. And many of us will have seen how many of our people across various parts of the country have done exactly the same. I saw people cleaning up the streets, rebuilding their lives, standing together, united in their diversity, young and old, men and women, black and white. They were grateful for the support of the security forces and made it clear to me that they stand united and will work with the government to restore stability. My fellow South Africans, since the outbreak of this violence, at least 212 people have lost their lives. Of these, 180 have been in KwaZulu-Natal and 32 in Gauteng. The South African Police Service, led by Commissioner Stolle here, is investigating 131 cases of murder and have opened inquest dockets in respect of 81 deaths. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families of those who have lost their lives to this senseless violence This is a pain that no family and no community should have to endure. Since the unrest started, the National Joint Operational and Intelligence Structure has recorded over 118 incidents of public violence, arson, looting, and other unrest-related instances. These incidents were concentrated in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. Since the height of the unrest on Monday and Tuesday, there's been a sharp decline in the number of incidents, and calm has returned and is returning to most of these areas. Over 2,550 people have been arrested in connection with the unrest, and special arrangements are being put in place to ensure that these cases are prioritized. The destruction of property and theft of goods has cost businesses, consumers, and the country as a whole billions and billions of rands. According to preliminary reports compiled by NetJoint, extensive damage has been caused to about 161 malls and shopping centers, 11 warehouses, 8 factories, and 161 liquor outlets and distributors. This does not include the damage caused to the roads and other infrastructure. Fellow South Africans, as this government, we must acknowledge that we were poorly prepared for an orchestrated campaign of public violence, destruction, and sabotage of this nature. While we commend the brave actions of our security forces on the ground, we must admit that we did not have the capabilities and the plans in place, as this happened, to respond swiftly and decisively. Our police were faced with a difficult situation and exercised commendable restraint to prevent any loss of life or further escalation. However, once additional security personnel were deployed, they were able to quickly restore calm to most areas that were affected. Once this crisis has passed, we will undertake a thorough and critical review of our preparedness and response to incidents such as these. For now, our priorities are, firstly, to stabilize the country, secondly, to secure essential supplies and infrastructure, thirdly, to provide relief and support recovery and rebuilding. Fourthly, to encourage the active efforts of citizens in defense of their lives, livelihoods, and democracy. To stabilize the country, we have massively increased the numbers of law enforcement and security personnel on the ground in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. And we are also spreading them around to other parts of the country. I have authorized the deployment of 25,000 members of the South African National Defence Force, led by General Mapoanya, to support the work of the police. Of these, 10,000 are now on the ground, while the remaining forces arriving in their respective areas of deployment over the course of this weekend. Steady progress is being made to secure our logistics infrastructure. The N3 freeway, which faced enormous challenges and difficulties between eThekwini and Gauteng, has been reopened, and security forces are in place to keep vital supply routes open. The security forces are working with business to ensure the safe transport of fuel, food, oxygen, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, and other critical supplies. Operations at the ports of Durban and Richards Bay are being restored to enable the resumption of exports and imports. Regulations have been issued in terms of the Competition Act to enable firms involved in the supply of essential goods to share information about the availability and demand for certain goods. This is to help prevent shortages of essential goods and promote the equitable distribution of scarce essential goods across the country. These measures will ensure that supply chains remain intact. I want to emphasize that there is no shortage of food or supplies in most parts of the country, and there is therefore no need to go on panic buying, because doing so will only worsen the situation. In addition to supporting the police in maintaining order, South African National Defence Force members have been deployed to key installations to protect them and commercial sites that are vital to the functioning of the economy and the uninterrupted provision of services to our citizens. Specialized units of our law enforcement agencies are working round the clock to locate and apprehend those responsible for planning and coordinating this violence. We will spare no effort in bringing those individuals to justice. I want to repeat, we will spare no effort in bringing those individuals to justice. My instruction to the Commissioner of Police and his officers is very clear on this. There have been calls from several quarters for the declaration of a state of emergency to contain this violence and destruction. These calls are understandable given the levels and extent of disorder. My view has been that a state of emergency should only be declared when all other means of stabilizing the situation in our country has shown to be inadequate. A state of emergency would allow a drastic limitation of the basic rights contained in our Constitution, which no responsible government would want to do unless it was absolutely necessary. For now, it is our firm view that the deployment of our security forces, working together with communities and social partners across the country, will be able to restore order and prevent further violence. We will extinguish the fires that are raging, and we will stamp out every last ember of this fire. We will identify and act against those who lit the flame, and those who spread it, and those who are still attempting to spread it. We will find those who have instigated this violence. They will be held accountable for their deeds, because we will not allow anyone in our country to destabilize the country and to get away with it. And we will not allow any person or any group, whoever they are, to challenge the authority of our democratically elected government. Because this is in the end a challenge to the people of South Africa. While our security forces are steadily establishing control on the ground, the effects of this violence will be felt by all South Africans in the days and weeks and months to come. I met a number of business leaders during my visit in KwaZulu-Natal, together with the Premier, Minister of Police, the Minister of Defense, and the Minister of State Security. And the business people told me that it will take them a few months to restore their businesses. The damage that has been done to vital economic infrastructure will, as they told me, take time to repair. This in turn will have an impact on the availability of food, fuel, medicine and other supplies, not only in South Africa, but across the region. The violence and destruction has done enormous damage to our economy at a time when we are struggling to recover from the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. It has destroyed businesses and will undoubtedly lead to further job losses. Ultimately, it will also deepen poverty and cause even greater hardship to millions of South Africans. The widespread looting of the past week is likely to fuel a further increase in COVID-19 infections. These events have also disrupted our COVID-19 vaccination program in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, just as it was beginning to gain momentum. Now it is imperative that we should take further steps to provide support to households and to help businesses to restock and to rebuild. We're in the process of providing immediate food relief to households. Earlier I received a call from Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who was telling me about the situation in Ulundi. And we immediately promised him that we will be taking steps to ensure that the people who are lining up in Ulundi after the destruction of shops in Eshowe and other areas nearby had resulted in the shortage of food. And they were now lining up in Ulundi. We are attending to this, even tonight as we speak. We are targeting areas affected by the looting and where people have no access to food. Provincial departments of social development and SASA will use their remaining budget in the social relief of disaster program to provide support in the form of food parcels, cash and food vouchers. We're working hard to bring all SASA offices into operation again. Cash points are expected to resume services from the 19th of July in all areas that have been declared safe to operate. To assist with the immediate needs of affected communities, the Solidarity Fund has established a humanitarian crisis relief. Mrs. Gloria Sirobe informed me, as chair of that fund, that they aim to assist those in greatest need at this time. We are calling on all South Africans to support this fund. We appreciate the support of the many companies, the organizations and faith-based groups that have already started providing support to families in distress. Social partners have been meeting to discuss a range of measures which can be implemented to provide immediate relief within our fiscal means. This includes the provision of emergency food relief and other assistance to those in greatest distress. We will also help our small businesses, including those in townships and rural areas, to heal the damage they have suffered. Our business people provide important goods and services in our communities, and we will help them to rebuild their businesses. A team in the Presidency and the National Treasury, as well as those who are leading the economic cluster in government, are hard at work to develop a comprehensive support package for Cabinet's consideration. We will be in a position to make a further announcement in this regard soon. In the short term, it is essential that we get the vaccination program back on track as soon as possible, and no effort will be spared in that regard, as we are now in a position to have more vaccines available so that this program can speed up. My fellow South Africans, while calm has returned to most of Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, the threat to our country and to our democracy remains present and real. Those responsible for organizing this campaign of violence and destruction have not all yet been apprehended, and their networks have not yet been dismantled. But we know who they are, and the police are on their tracks, and they've already identified them. We must therefore remain vigilant and resist any efforts to incite further violence. We welcome the unwavering support from religious, traditional political party, labor and business leaders, many of whom I met during the course of this week. We applaud those individuals, organizations and communities that have taken the initiative through peaceful means to restore calm and protect lives and property and infrastructure. We thank all those people who have remained at their posts under difficult and dangerous conditions, providing services to our people and our nation, the law enforcement personnel, health workers, social workers, security personnel, municipal employees, and many other frontline public servants. We also thank the journalists of our country who have been reporting on these events and bringing the news to South Africans as they've been unfolding, helping to ensure that South Africans are informed and empowered. And I've watched many of them getting into very dangerous situations so that we may all be informed. We call on communities across the country to work with the police through community policing forums. We have found that these policing forums work extremely well, particularly at a time like this. And many of them have been functioning to good effect. No person should take the law into their own hands. We must guard against vigilantism and anything that could inflame tensions, racial or otherwise, further. We call on all South Africans to encourage calm and restraint, to desist from sharing false information, and to report any incidents of violence to the police immediately. Any incidents of people who seek to loot or to disturb the peace. By doing these basic things, we can all work together to protect our country. This coming Sunday, South Africans will join people across the world in celebrating Nelson Mandela Day. As we reaffirm our commitment to our democracy and remembering the father of our nation, Nelson Mandela, let us use Mandela Day to provide food to the most vulnerable in our society, to clean up our streets, and to start the task of rebuilding. My wish is that this cleaning up campaign that has been sparked off by cleaning up the mess of this violent week can become a continuous process in our country where we all work together to clean up our country so that we can emulate other countries, even on our continent, that have clean streets, where people work together on set days of the month, of the week, to clean up their neighborhoods, to clean up their country. This is a moment that I would want us to use to begin this culture of cleaning up the areas where we live. While security forces are essential to restoring order and stability, this assault on our democracy will ultimately fail because the people of South Africa will not allow it. If we stand together, no insurrection or violence in this country will succeed. We are engaged in a struggle to defend our democracy, to defend our constitution, to defend our livelihoods and our safety. This is not a battle that we can afford to lose. When we look back on this moment in our history, let us say that we faced down a grave threat and defeated it. Let us bear witness to the strength and the endurance of our democracy, not its downfall. Let us speak of the triumph of our Constitution, not its destruction. We will never allow this great project of humanity that is so lauded and praised all over the world, our South African democracy, to fail. Lastly, I wish to pass condolences to some South Africans who have passed away in the recent past few days. Inkosi Mashangu, the chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders, passed away. Tshepo Tshola, one of our most outstanding artists. Dr. Ben Ngubane, former KwaZulu-Natal Premier. Aubrey Mokoena, who was the head of the Release Mandela campaign and a former MP, passed away. Kehla Mthembu, a leading businessman and a friend. Dr. Sam Gulube, the former Secretary of Defense, just recently retired. Jeff Makubu, Mayor of Johannesburg. Dr. Vanguard Mkosana, the former Director General of Labor. Michael Zuma, the younger brother of former President Jacob Zuma. We pass our condolences to their families, and may they all rest in peace. May God bless South Africa and continue to protect her people. I thank you.
Welcome back. And that was the President of the Republic of South Africa and the President of the African National Congress ruling party, President Cyril Ramaphosa, addressing the country over the television on yesterday after visiting KwaZulu-Natal areas which have been hit hard by the unrest over the last week. And that will conclude the Pan-African Journal Worldwide Radio broadcast for today, Saturday, July 17, 2021. We've been broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Detroit. We would like to remind our listeners that if you want to have access to this program so you can listen to it again, so you can share with other potential listeners through email, through blogs and websites, through social media networks such as Facebook and Twitter, just go to the Pan-African Radio Network, and that's at blogtalkradio.com/Pan-African Journal. That's blogtalkradio.com/Pan-African Journal. If you'd like to read the Pan-African Newswire, just log on to our website at panafricannews.blogspot.com. That's panafricannews.blogspot.com. And we're going to be closing out with the music of Red Garland from the album entitled Groovy. This is Abayomi Azikiwe signing off, and have a beautiful week. Thank you.